All right, Jebusite, good morning. Let us begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Mem Beis. We are picking up on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and we are picking up with Pasaba Bekisnin, right? That's what we left off with yesterday. So we'll pick up with Pliga Drabchia, right? So good, perfect. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines off from the bottom. We want to thank our sponsors for this morning's shir, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, Ed and Faith Wolf, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos this month in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Basvelvel, Bracha Strimber, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos this month in memory of her husband, Avram and Kamen Eliezer Halevi, a week of learning, dedicated anonymously in the merit of a Rafu Shlima for Kamen Leib, Ben Genendel MS and Nechama Tamar Bas Bracha Sara, Jack Bennett for dedicating the week of learning in memory of his grandfather, Chaim Fedorovsky, his first wife, Paulina, their three children, and Jack's great-grandmother, Basia Fedorovsky, who were killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shem and Babi Yar in 1941. A day of learning, again, sponsored by Adam and Leslie Rosen, with thanks and appreciation to Hashem for everything he provides. A Daf Yomi Shir, sponsored again by Michael Edinger, in honor of Binyamin Edinger's birthday, which I guess was yesterday, but Baruch Hashem, we're celebrating it today as well. And his brother Boaz David joining the Daf podcast. And lastly, a Daf Yomi sponsorship by Dr. Mayer and Arlene Tellis, in honor of the upcoming wedding of Binyamin Tellis to Jordana Mostel. Wish a mazel tov to the Chasan and Kala, all the Neshama Shav and Aliyah, families in Nechama, and all those who require a refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Amen. We'll say with that, let us begin. So says the Gemara, Upligad Rav Chia, Don Rav Chia, Pas Poteres Komini Meichel. So we'll remember again, Rav Chia says that bread has the ability to exempt all types of food. V'yayin Poter Komini Mashkim. And ultimately, wine has the ability to go ahead and exempt all types of drinks, which means if you make hamotzi, hamotzi by definition exempts all foods consumed. Now, again, we're going to define the scope of that in just a moment. And if you drink wine, so wine has the ability to exempt all drinks consumed during the meal. Amar Rapapa, so says Rapapa Rabo, saying this is perhaps one of the most important principles. We'll see. Hilchasa, Dvarim Haboim Machmas Hasuda Besoch Hasuda. So we'll say that halacha is as follows. Items that are consumed during the meal, that are part and parcel of the meal, which means, again, they're normative meal items, normative items consumed during the meal, so do not require a bracha beforehand or afterwards. Why? Because they are covered by the hamotzi. So again, whenever we speak about a suda, so suda always presupposes that one has washed. So therefore, hamotzi. So therefore, again, if you've made hamotzi, any items that are considered to be a normative part of the meal, halacha l'maaseh are covered under your hamotzi. Therefore, do not require a bracha before you eat them or after you eat them. However, the shalom achmas hasuda, b'soch hasuda, what happens if you eat food items that are not normally part of the meal within the meal itself? They require a bracha beforehand, but do not require a bracha afterwards. They require a bracha beforehand. Why? Because they are not covered under the hamotzi, but they do not require a bracha afterwards. Why? Because they will be covered by benching. So Moshe, So those are the first two categories. Remember how all of this started. So this started with a case, ultimately, again, of people eating te'inim and anovim, right? Fruit during the meal. So now we see, what's the halacha with fruit during the meal? What's the halacha? Is you make a bracha beforehand, right? So again, if you eat a fruit during the meal, you eat a bracha beforehand, but need not make a bracha afterwards. So we'll say, this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So for example, therefore, in the times of the Gemara, if somebody were to go ahead and bring you fruit during the meal means, again, after you wash, before you bench, Salach l'maaseh, your hamotzi doesn't cover fruit. Why? Because fruit is not considered to be something that comes machmas hasu'uda. So therefore, you make whatever bracha you're making on the fruit, and it's covered by the benching. So we'll say, so this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So of course, it is interesting to note, like contemporarily, what do we do? It's very common to have fruit as an appetizer right, for meal, or some dish that contains fruit ultimately during the meal itself. So it's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah already acknowledges this reality, and so many poskim hold that, let's say, since today it's common to have fruit as an appetizer. So again, remember, a lot of these things are societal. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, fruit is considered to be something that normally comes over the course of the meal, and therefore halacha l'maisa, it is covered during your by your hamotzi. Now again, that only covers fruit that, let's say, is a normal part of the meal, like melon as an appetizer. You know, so that would be normal. If you decide to have a couple of grapes, you know, during your main meal, that's not considered to be part of the meal. Halacha l'maisa, you'd have to make a separate ha'itz on that. The Mishnah Berurah gives a very simple eitzah. His eitzah is, if you're going to eat fruit during your meal, very simple, what do? Just eat a little piece of bread with it. All you need to do is take that fruit with a little piece of bread, and suddenly, again, that fruit is considered to be liftan. It's considered to be a condiment to the bread. So that's the easiest solution, says the Mishnah Berurah. In the absence of that, if it's a course, then halach l'maisa is covered under your hamotzi. But if it's not a course, then halach l'maisa, you would have to make a separate bracha. What about? What about food consumed after the su'uda? So we'll say, so remember again, we're going to discuss what la'achar ha-su'uda means. Te'unin bracha bein lefneim bein la'achareim. So foods consumed after the su'uda require both a bracha beforehand and afterwards. So we'll have to see exactly what this means. Look at Rashi. Te'unin bein bracha bein lefneim de'laf tfei leninu bein la'achareim de'ein birchas ha-mazan po'trasin de'la mezonin inu. So we'll see what this means. Bepashas, what does this sound like? It sounds like dessert. Right, but what does that mean that dessert wouldn't be covered by benching? We'll see in just a bit. Shaluas ben Zoma. So they asked Ben Zoma. So the truth is, there's a lot of fascinating pieces over here in Tosis regarding Pasa Baba Kisnin, as well as this principle we just espoused, but we're just going to do a lot of it outside. Shaluas ben Zoma. They asked Ben Zoma. Mipnei ma amru chacham, mipnei ma amru, dvarim haba'im machma sasud b'soh chasuda, enam tunim bracha lo lefeim lo l'acharem. So we'll say, why is it that food items which are consumed during the meal and are considered to be normative food items, meal items, why do they not require a bracha beforehand and afterwards? Amar lahem, ho'elu pas potrasan. Very simple. Bread. We'll say bread. At the end of the day, when you make hamotzi, hamotzi ultimately, again, patters all of these items. So remember, again, Abosai, what this is it's an application also of the concept of ikar v'tavel. When you wash, the bread becomes the primary staple of the entire meal, and everything else is considered to be, so to speak, a condiment to the bread, the lift onto the bread. So therefore, you wash, make hamotzi, hamotzi covers everything else. But hamotzi only covers what? It only covers what? Those things which are considered to be a normative part of the meal. Ihachi yayin nami niftere pas. So why doesn't bread cover wine? Right? They both say, remember again, technically speaking, hamotzi is the most dominant mitzvah. Davening bracha. Not only that, but hamotzi is the bracha that ultimately represents a meal. People drink wine as part of a meal. So why is it that when you make hamotzi, why doesn't hamotzi cover hagafen? Right, it's a good shayla. Shiny yayin. Yayin is a different type of membez. Degorim bracha liatzmo. So I will say, so wine is different. Since wine itself has a chashivas, that's at times it is used on its own, even independent of bread, so to speak. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, it's not covered under challah, under bread. Look at Rashi. Hagtap Rashi ben Beis Mandalef. Hagorim bracha liatzmo. Bekama makomo suba. It's actually very interesting. There are times where I don't want to drink wine, yet what? I have to drink wine. Nebuch, right? Right? There are times like what I will say, Kiddush. So Kiddush, I might not be in the mood for wine, right? I might not be. But again, there's a mitzvah to go ahead and make Kiddush over a glass of wine. So interestingly enough, because ultimately, again, there are situations where there is an obligation to go ahead and drink wine, even if I don't want to, that shows that what? That wine has a dramatic chashivos onto itself. Therefore, it is not exempted ultimately again with bread. Rafuna achal tlesa rifti b'nei tlasa b'kabo. So we'll say, so now we're jumping a little bit. We're not finished with dessert. By the way, there's still more to be enjoyed with dessert. So Rafuna achal tlesa rifti b'nei tlasa b'kabo. Rafuna ate, literally it means 13 loaves. 13 loaves that were each, again, three, plus a plus a three to a kav, meaning he ate a lot. Now, what are we talking about over here? This is pasa babakisnin. So if you remember again, in yesterday, I don't remember if I read you the Rashi or not, but Rashi explains that the definition of pasa babakisnin, Rashi advances two different possibilities, but essentially what it is it's a dough-based, flour-based item that had a lot of nuts, and spices. So there was some dough in it, but really, again, the primary part of it, just in volume, were the additives to it. So essentially, it's like cake. That's how we look at, that's cake, muffin, something like that. Right? So again, but definitely, meaning you made mizonos, we'll see actually what bracha you make on pasta bekisnin, but again, it was a flour-based item. So watch this. So apparently, Rav Huna ate a lot of pasta bekisnin. V'lo beirach, yet he did not go ahead and bench. Amar li Rav Nachman, Adi Kafno, you've certainly eaten enough to satisfy your hunger. Ela kol sha'achirim kovin alav suda tzarech levarich. So the Gemara says, so listen to this. So the idea over here is that the Gemara saying is like this. You would have thought that after Rav Huna ate so much of pasta bekisnin, that halacha lemaisa, he would have to bench. Kamash malan kol shachirim kovim alav suda tzarech levarich. It is only so. Actually, I'm sorry. Take a look first at Rashi. Adi elu kilomar elu lere avonechlu va'achila meruba kazu lo niftar sibracha ela kol shachirim kovim achilasam v'kach tamber kazal kach peirush rabino hai. So we'll say. So the idea over here is, so when it comes to pasta bekisnin, if you eat enough, that people would be koveh suda, that a person would say this constitutes a meal, then halacha lamaisa, you would bench. So we're going to see this halacha a bit more as well. This is any time, if you were to take cake, any cake-like item, and you were to go ahead and say, this is my suda, right? This is my suda, and I'm eating enough. We'll have to see what enough is, but I'm eating enough, ultimately, again, to constitute a meal, then halacha lamaisa, you would bench even over Kasa Babi Kisnin. So the Gemara tells a story. We're not finished with this. So Rav Yehuda hava asikle librei be Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. So listen to this. So Rav Yehuda was marrying off his son to the daughter of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Aisu lekamayu pasa babi kisnin. So they brought before them, I guess at the chasana, pasa babi kisnin. Right, so this cake-like item. Ki asa shma'in, listen to this. So ki asa, when they brought it before, Rabbi Yehuda heard shma'in hu de kamavarchi hamotzi. He heard people making hamotzi on the pasuk b'kisnin. Amar lehu my tzitzi de kashamano. What is this tzitzi that I'm hearing? What does he keep here? Hamotzi, tzitzi, hamotzi, motzi, motzi. Says, what is this tzitzi, right? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Amar lehu my tzitzi de kashamano. Doma hamotzi lacha min ha'aretz kamavarchisu. Are you guys making hamotzi and pasa babi kisnin? Amar le'im, they said, yes, we're making hamotzi and pasa babi kisnin. After all, again, disanya, Rabbi Mona Omer Mishum Rabbi Huda, pasa babi kisnin, mevarchin ala hamotzi. That ultimately, Rabbi Mona said, Rabbi Huda, that pasa babi kisnin, which I will say is cake, essentially is cake, we make hamotzi over it. Va'amr Shmua halacha krabimona, and Shmuel said halacha krabimona, that indeed you make hamotzi and pasa babi kisnin. Amr Lahu, to which Rabbi Huda said, no. Ein halacha k'rabi mona. The halacha is not like k'rabi mona. You do not make hamotzi and pasa babi kisnin. Amr Lehi, v'hamarhu, the Amr Mishmei de Shmuel. But yet, again, we learned in the name of Shmuel the following idea. Lachmanios, ma'arvin bahen, o mevarchin alein hamotzi. So I'll say, interestingly enough, we normally translate lachmaniot, ultimately, again, as rolls. That's a more modern Hebrew usage. Lachmaniot falls into this category of pasa babi kisnin. So remember again, I will say, the idea, just to understand what fits into the category of pasa babi kisnin, it's any item that has a flour dough base, but is overloaded with other additives. So the spices, the nuts, right? That transforms it ultimately, again, from a bread into a pasa babi kisnin. So lachmanios is another example of this. I suppose they said, so they said in the name of Shmuel that you could use lachmaniot for your eruv chatzeros, right? You could use it for your eruv. Umivarchin alein hamotzi. And halacha lemaisa what? You can go ahead and make on it the bracha of hamotzi. So we'll say, so what do you see over here? You see over here that pasa babi kisnin does have the status of lechem, does have the status of bread, to which the Gemara says, "Shiny hasam dekava suudasaihu alaihu." So we'll say, remember again, what's the difference there? The difference there, halacha lamaisa, is that you're koveya suuda on it. So we'll say, remember again, aval hecha de lo kava suudasaihu alaihu lo. So we'll say, so what Rabbi Yehuda is coming along to say is as follows. What bracha do you make on Pasavah b'kisnin? Again, in general, what bracha do you make on Pasavah b'kisnin? Mezonos. What's the exception? The exception is if you were to go ahead and be koveya suuda. If you were to establish your suuda, and establishing your suuda means A, that you have kavana that this is your suuda, B, that you eat enough of it that it is going to be your suuda. In Achinami, it transforms its identity from Pasavah b'kisnin into Pas, and indeed you would bench over such an item. So whenever you see that halacha lamaisa, you could use it for Erev or other things, that's when you're eating enough of that volume. Rav Papa, Ikla lebe Rav Huna b'rei Rav Nasan. So let's listen to this. Rav Papa went to the home of Rav Huna b'rei Rav Nasan. So listen to this case. Basar de gamri su dasayhu. When they finish, so Basar said, now we're coming back a little bit to dessert. And back just a bit to dessert. So watch this. So Rav Papa went to the house of Rav Huna b'rei Rav Nasan. Basar de gamri su dasayhu. When they finished the suda, I see lekamaihu midi lemecho. So they went ahead and they brought out something additional to eat. So the meal is over. They brought out something additional to eat. Shaka Rav Papa v'ka'achol. So Rav Papa took it and he ate it. And apparently, again, he ate it without what? Without making an additional bracha. Amar lei lo savar lamar gamar asr milechol. Do Rav Papa, do you not hold of the idea that once the formal meal finishes, that you are not permitted to go ahead and eat anything else? Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Asr milechol ad shivarech birkas hamazon v'yachzir v'yachzor v'yavarech al haba lefanav." The Chayvan de Gamar Asach Daitei Mibracha Rishona Umisudase. So we'll say, listen to this. Don't we normally assume this follows? When the meal is over, we'll see, when the meal is over, a person assumes that what? The meal is over, you're done. You're done. So once you're done, Rabbi will say, once you're done, once there's a Hesach Hadas, a lapse of awareness, then ultimately, again, the Hamotzi no longer covers anything. Hamotzi no longer, and if Hamotzi no longer covers anything, so certainly the benching is not going to cover anything either. So therefore, we normally assume that once your meal is done, even if they, and you have intention that your meal is done, then halacha lemaisa, once that occurs, if you want to eat anything else, really what you need to do is what? You need to bench, close out the meal, and then make another bracha on the item that comes before you. Yet, the meal was over, they brought out some additional stuff, Rav Papa ate it without making a bracha. So Amri Lei, I'm sorry, Amri Lehu, so Rav Papa says, no. When is the meal over? Salak itmar. So we'll say, that halacha is when, look at Rashi, salak itmar, im silei kalechem v'chala ocha me'al ha'shulchon v'adayin lo berchu asr lecho. So Rav Papa says, no, when is that? So we'll say, it's actually machlokis as to what's being removed over here. So Rashi says, it's ultimately, again, when they removed the bread. Once you take the bread off the table, the meal is done. The meal is done. And with the point of the meal is then that even if you bring out something else, then halacha lemaisa, you have to bench first and then make another bracha on the item. Others say salak actually refers to their practice, and we'll see this in just a little bit in the Gemara, of removing the table. Right? Once the table is removed, then halacha lemaisa, the meal is done. And if even more food comes out, you have to first go ahead and bench and then recite another bracha. So we'll say let's continue. So now this really gets into the topic of dessert. Rava, Rabbi Zera, Ikla Lebe Reish Kalusa. Very interesting case. Rava and Rabbi Zera went to the house of the Reish Kalusa. Remember again, the Reish Kalusa is the head of Babylonian Jewry. Lebasra de Saliku Taka Mikamaihu Shadri Le Ristana Mibe Reish Kalusa. So apparently, it seems to me what was happening over here is as follows. He said, Halach Lamaisa, Rava and Rabbi Zera went to the house of the Reish Kalusa, but they weren't dining and they weren't eating in the same room as him. They must have been in a different dining room. So they finished their meal. Rava and Rabbi Zera finished their meal. And ultimately, again, the table was removed. The table was removed. What happened then? The Reish Kalusa sent them some meat, some food from his suda. I guess that was like a sign of like kavod. You get food from the Reish Kalusa. So here's the problem. So the Reish Kalusa sends the food. But what's happened to Rava and Rabbi Zera already? They already removed their table. They finished. So we'll say, so what happened? Listen to this. So the Gemara says, Rava Achil, Rabbi Zera lo Achil. Rava ate it, Rabbi Zera didn't eat it. Amar lei, Lo sabra la ma'ar, salik asr milechol. So Rabbi Zeir says to Rava, don't you hold that once the table, and I also remember again, in this case, not only was the bread removed, but mamish what? The table is removed. Don't you hold that once the table is removed, the meal is over, there's nothing more to eat, right? Aren't we done after that? So the Gemara says, Amalei, anan atacha d'reish galusa samchina. He says, we are dependent on the table of the Reish Galusa. So this is incredible. Look at Rashi. Atacha d'reish galusa samchinan. Ve'in silikusenu siluk. The removal of our table is not the end of the meal. Why? Shedaitenu im yisa masaos meis panav elenu nochal. So we'll say, this is what's called in halacha the dinah the balabayis. That when you are a guest in someone else's home, you don't know what's coming. Right, you don't know what's going to happen. So as such, again, you have incredible bracha expansiveness, right? And the bracha ultimately again covers anything that your host is going to give you, right? Anything your host is going to give you is covered by the bracha. So here you have Rabbi Zeira telling Rava, Rava telling Rabbi Zeira, listen, we're hosted the Reish Galusa. So it's true that the table was removed, but Lamaisa, it's not over till it's over, right? So it's not over until the Reish Galusa finishes, because again, apparently also it was customary that the Reish Galusa, even if you weren't dining in his room, would send you some portions of his meal. So therefore, I will say this is the dinner of the Balabais. When you're a guest in someone's house, again, you have kind of open, expansive das, that my bracha covers whatever it is that the Balabais sends my way. Amarav, haragil b'shem sham akva. So I'll say, so now, this gets into the yesodistic discussion about when is a meal really considered to be over? At what point in time is the meal considered to be over? So Amarav, harogil b'shemen shemen ma'akvo. So we'll say, so apparently again, some had the custom at the end of the meal to put oil on their hands, right? Because a lot of times, because they eat with their hands also, the hands would become a little, would have like the smell of the food. So to remove the smell of the food, they would coat their hands with fragrant oil at the end. So as soon as they do, you know, oil achronim, that's mamish, like that's the end of the su'udah. Amar Ravashi, ki avina be'rav kana, amar lan ki gon anon, diragilon b'mishcha, mishcha ma'akvalon. Like us, who use oil at the end of the meal, the putting of the oil on the hands, that signifies the end of the meal. And the Gemara says, however, but the halacha doesn't follow any of these things. In other words, we both say, at the end of the day, the Gemara says, when we want to come up with a definition of the end of the meal, it doesn't follow anything we said before. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, so remember again, we've advanced a number of different possibilities as to what constitutes the end of the meal. So ultimately, again, the end of the meal is not signified ultimately by the removal of the table, or even by the removal of the bread, or by the smearing of the oil. Rather, what is it signified? There are three things that must be done with a degree of immediacy. And what are they? Or with immediacy. Take if l'smicha shchita, by karbanos, after you do smicha, after you lean on the animal, shecht it immediately. Take if l'geula tefillah, as soon as you say the bracha of Gal Yisrael, ultimately again, you should damish monas, right? Take if l'netilas yadayim bracha, right after you go ahead and do netilas time, you should do a bracha. Rabbi, so what is this referring to? My machronim. Rashi says netilas yadayim, demayim achronim birkas amazon v'lo yocha klum ad shivarech amazon. So we'll say, so aloch l'maisa, once you go ahead and you wash my machronim, your meal is over. Your meal is over. And I will say, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, there is one other time where ultimately, again, your meal is really over. Mishnah Berurah says, and that's if you say, let's bench. Now, I don't mean like the let's bench you say when it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and your company's not leaving, right? And you're like, you know, you're trying to like, oh, hey, let's bench, right? No. Meaning, which is more like a suggestion, like, come on, people, like, there's other things to do here in life. Right? So we'll say, but meaning like when a person actually expresses it, ultimately, again, as an intent, let's bench. So Mishnah Havlon Unavarech, when you say let's bench, so that also shows, so we'll say, this is incredibly important. Because a lot of times people don't realize this. See, my machron and most people understand that that's the end. But a lot of times when people say, let's bench, and they mean it with the extension of let's bench, and then they kind of see the dessert is still there, or the company didn't take the cue, so they figured, okay, I'll do some more dessert. that's actually problematic. Once a person expresses, it doesn't really matter what you think, right? Even if you think you want to lunch, you might be thinking that at 2 o'clock, right? But at the end of the day, right, that thinking, that doesn't matter. But once you say it, that concludes the meal in a formal fashion, to the point that one should not eat anything else until one first benches and then goes back ultimately again and makes another bracha. But again, if one does mayim achronim, you know, we spoke about mayim achronim a little bit. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says mayim achronim is still a good thing. You know, some people do it, some people don't do it. We spoke about that sugya. But mayim achronim also would certainly signify the end of the meal. Amar Abaye, so we'll say another beautiful idea. Abaye says, af anu ne'emar, take it. So the Gemara said over here, there are three things which require immediacy, right? So immediately after smicha, you do shchita. Immediately after Gaal Yisrael, you say Shmona Esrei. And immediately after mayim achronim, you should bench. Abaye just adds in another, af anu ne'emar, take it l'talmidei chachamim, bracha. So we'll say it's very beautiful. That immediately after Rashi says, take up the Nicham Hamakrivo, a love umar chobabaiso, that one who goes ahead and takes care and hosts Talmidei Chachamim, ultimately again, so immediately after taking in and hosting Talmidei Chachamim, bracha, one will experience blessing Shneemar Vayavarchini Hashem Biglo Lecha. This, of course, is Lavan talking to Yaakov, acknowledging to Yaakov that as soon as I allowed you into my home, ultimately I experienced bracha. Yibay Seyem Echacha Shneemar Vayavarech Hashem Es Beis HaMitzri Biglal Yosef. Quite beautiful, right? That ultimately even Potiphar, after Potiphar went ahead and invited, quote-unquote, invited Yosef into his home, the home experience, beautiful bracha. So take it for Talmidei Chachamim bracha. As soon as you allow Talmidei Chachamim into your home, the home experience is bracha. So we'll say, so just a word about, I guess the truth is we'll see dessert over here also. I'm very eager to get to dessert, as it's a very good sugya. But let's actually wait. The truth is, you'll see it's going to come up over here again. So oita alocha. Says the Mishnah, Beirach ala yayin shlefnei amazin, so we'll say very interesting halacha. If you make a bracha on wine before you eat, so some pre-dinner wine, right? Some pre-dinner wine. So I make a hagafen on the pre-dinner. But also I want to be clear, this is not Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? This is not Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is a regular Tuesday, right? So sounds like a good Tuesday, by the way, right? So remember, because Shabbos and Yom Tov are dramatically different, because once you have Kiddush, then it's obvious that Kiddush takes care of everything. This is talking about, I'm going to sit down to dinner. Before dinner, I have a glass of wine. So the glass of wine I have before the meal exempts the wine that I drink during the meal. Potra Sanshila Achra Mazon. So the Gemara says, Berach al peres. Now the truth is, we'll see, actually, look at Rashi. The truth is, the Mishnah is actually saying something much more profound. Look at Rashi. Berach al yayin, nogin hayulahavi kodim achila kos yayin lishto. So it was customary for them to drink a glass of wine before their meal. But remember again, this goes also back to what we said before, this Talmudic wine, if you drank a lot of it, it satiated. If you drank a little bit, it increased appetite. So it seems to me that before they ate, they dafka would go ahead and drink wine to increase their appetite. So the Ketsa Seder Aseba, or we live in Parparos, Lamshik Achilo, Kigon Pargios Vidagim, the Achakach Mavina Shulchan. So let's listen to what they would do. So interestingly enough, pre-meal usually consisted of wine and an appetizer. This was before you washed. Sorry?
Cocktail hour.
Cocktail hour, right? So try to run this idea when you get home. Yeah, see what happens. So we should have a cocktail hour every night. Right? So the idea was there was wine, and then there was some type of appetizer beforehand. This is all before you washed. Then they would wash, bring the table, have the meal. Then after the meal, Yoshvim Vishosim Vaochlim. They would sit and they would drink dessert. Then there was dessert. So we'll say it's very important. A lot of times when it comes to halachos of dessert, people think that dessert is like a new thing. No one ever ate dessert till they came to America, right? Columbia, right? So we'll say, so it's not true. We see already that it's fascinating. They already, Bizman and Gemara, they had dessert. Now the truth is, the role of dessert, or what dessert, we'll see where that was. Ulachar Gemara Suda, Yoshvin Vishosiv Ochlin. And when the meal was over, what would they do? So it sounds like they had another meal, but no, it's not another meal. They would sit, they would eat, they would drink. V'umahin ochlin, what would they eat? Parparos, so kigon kisni de ma'alu, lava ulachmanios, v'hu yayinu parparos shal achra mazon. So bos ushtem kodid birkas mazon. So bos they said, here's the order of the Talmudic meal. Wine, appetizer, And what was the appetizer? So the appetizer was either fish or pargiot, which, you know, we think is like chicken, but the truth is the Gemara seems to define it as partridge meat. So they had wine and appetizer, then wash and meal, then afterwards again more wine and dessert. What was dessert? So again, usually dessert consisted of pasaba bekisnin, right? Some type of pasaba bekisnin, some type of cake-like item. And I will say, when does all of this happen? All of this happens ultimately before benching, right? This is all before benching. So now, interestingly enough, what we're going to see is as follows. The Mishnah, when it says if you drink wine before the meal, it takes care of the wine after the meal, is actually referring to two different wines. It's referring to wine you drink during the meal and what? And what? Wine you drink during dessert. So the wine you drink before the meal takes care of your meal wine and takes care of your dessert wine. Good. But if you go ahead and you break a bracha on your appetizer, so we'll say, sounds like that the bracha you make on your appetizer takes care of what? Your dessert. However, so we'll say, we'll see exactly what that means in the Gemara. If you make a bracha on bread, so bread takes care ultimately again of the appetizer or of the dessert afterwards. Ala parperes, but if you make a bracha on the parperes, the appetizer lo patras apas, that does not exempt the bread. Again, we'll have to see what all of this means. Beishamai omrim, Beishamai says, aflo maise kedera. It also doesn't exempt maise kedera. And I will say, maise kedera refers to any item that's a mazonos. So again, it's not immediately clear what Beishamai is saying. Is he saying if you make a bracha on the appetizer, it doesn't take care of the maise kedera, or hamotzi doesn't take care of the maise kedera? We'll see in the Gemara. Hayu yoshvin, when they sat down, now Rashi says over here, hayu yoshvin, belo hesebas mitos, shemutin al tzidein smalis alamitos. So remember again, how do they eat? How do they eat? They reclined, right? Remember again, like the Pesach Seder, but they did it every time they ate. They reclined on their left side, and this was a meal. What if people sat down, not with reclining? So we'll say, so the idea was, when you were having a meal together, everybody reclined together. Hayu yoshvin kol echad mevarich liatzmo. But if they didn't recline, but they just sat together. So there's a lack of a cohesive group now. What's the halacha? Kol echad mevarich liatzmo. We'll say, if there's no eseba, then there's no cohesive group. If there's no cohesive group, then everyone must make a bracha on their own. So the Gemara says, so Hasebu, if they leaned, Echad Mevarech Likulan, then one person ultimately, again, has the ability to make a bracha for everyone. Boss, I just want to point out over here, isn't it amazing? What creates a group? What creates cohesion? Cohesion is created through leaning. And we'll say, what is leaning? Leaning is when I bend myself towards you. When I bend myself towards you, and you bend yourself towards me, when there's heseba, that creates a cohesive group. If for Yoshvin, I stand up right here, this is my space, that's your space, then kol echad mevarech liatzmo, then every person has to make their own bracha. But hesebu, you're willing to lean towards me, I'm willing to lean towards you, we're willing to meet each other somewhere, then echad mevarech lekulan. Then ultimately, again, we become a beautiful, cohesive group, and we make one unified bracha together. Such an incredible mosar. Listen to this. What if wine came to them in the middle of the meal? So we'll say, we're going to see what case this is. Remember, there's a lot happening over here in this Mishnah. If wine came to them in the midst of the meal, every person must make their own bracha. If wine came to them after the meal, one person makes a bracha on behalf of everyone. So we'll say again, we're going to have to see what cases this is referring to. Listen to this. After eating, one person makes the bracha on behalf of everyone. V'hu omer ala mugmar. We'll say this is fascinating. And the one who makes the bracha on the wine is also the one who makes the bracha on besamim. Besamim, where did that come from? Look at Rashi, this is incredible. V'hu omer ala mugmar. Osa sheberach al hayayin. The one who made the bracha on the wine also makes the bracha on the mugmar b'samim. So we'll say after the meal was over, what would they bring? They would bring b'samim, right? They would bring different spices. They would put it over the fire to release, right, the aromatic smell. We'll say, so first of all, isn't it amazing? Like, to us, what does this sound like? But like it sounds like a Yom Tov meal, right? This Listen, it's just so amazing how times have changed. Once upon a time, people took time to eat, right? People actually spent time, right, with each other during meals, right? There's the appetizer, there's the main, there's dessert. Suddenly now there's besamim, right? There's besamim. Also, it's incredible how you could see the meal played such an incredible role. Also, just probably in family life, in communal life, people, I guess, and I don't know that people had more time, but people made more time for these things. Even though the mugmar wasn't brought until the end of the meal. Good, Rabbi say. So now let's begin to define the parameters of the statements of the Mishnah. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Bar Bar Chana said, Rabbi Yochanan. Lo Shanu Ella, Bishabasos V'yamim Felvim. So Rabbi say, so let's take a step back. Look at Rashi. Lo Shanu, Diyayin Shalifnei Hamazon, Poter es shela achar hamazon. I will say, when do we say that wine before the meal exempts, meaning we'll call it appetizer wine, exempts wine during and after the meal? When is that true? Only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hoil va'adam kovea sudasa ala yayin. Since ultimately what? Since halacha lemaisa, a person is kovea suda. Wine is part and parcel in a formal fashion of the meal. Look at Rashi. Ela b'shabbosos. The daito leishiv achar hamazon v'lishtos. So both on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where it's common for a person to drink more wine during the meal and by dessert, that's when you make a bracha on the wine before the meal, it ultimately exempts the wine during the meal. But during the rest of the year, halacha lemaisa, you actually have to make a bracha on every cup of wine. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi, al kol kos v'kos, dahaben kinimlach, umaschel b'shtia b'chol echer v'echer. We'll say, there's a concept, we're going to see this as well, in Hilchos Brachos, of the concept of nimlach. Nimlach means, if you had in mind to eat X, right, and then you decided, you know what, I'm also going to eat Y, the bracha you made on X can't cover Y. Why is that? Because halacha lemaisa, the bracha was articulated in a very limited scope. So for example, let's say I was on a regular day. I have in mind I'm going to drink a glass of wine. Say, Bari Piyagafen, I'm going to have one glass of wine. It's delicious wine. I decide, you know what, I'm going to have a second glass of wine. On a technical level, the halacha is you must make a second bracha. Now, of course, the easiest way to circumvent this is what? Drink the whole bottle, right? Go ahead and have expansive das. Right, it will say it's kind of like just wash in the morning, right? Just wash the kamotzi in the morning and let it go. Right? So the idea is that when you make a bracha, there's no need to say I'm only drinking a glass of wine. A person could say I'm making a bracha on wine. I don't know how much I'm going to drink. I may drink one glass. I may drink two glasses. That way you sidestep nimloch. But however, if you did not, you made a bracha on one particular glass. So the Gemara is making a very interesting assumption. During the week, when you drink a glass of wine, we assume that the mindset of people is you're only drinking that one glass, right? So you're drinking appetizer wine, and only drinking that one glass. If you were to then go ahead and drink another glass of wine during the meal, that's called nimlach. You're making now a new decision, and that requires a new bracha. It's only on Shabbos and Yom Tov where there's an automatic assumption that you're going to drink more wine over the course of the meal, and that's why the bracha you make on the wine before the meal, now on your Shabbos Yom Tov, is in the form of Kiddush, covers all of your wine. Itmar Nami, Amar Rabba Bar Mari, Amar Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, Lo Shana Ela B'Shabbasas Yomim Tovim, U'B'Shah Sha'adam Yotzi Mi Beis HaMerchatz U'B'Shah Sakazas Dam, Hoil Va'adam Koveas Su'udasu Ala Yayin. So we'll say it's only by Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now the truth is the Gemara adds in over here, and also when you come out of the bathhouse and when you give blood, do bloodletting. So we'll say it actually doesn't have to do with our discussion here. Those just happen to be other examples where it was customary to drink wine. After the bathhouse, a person became weakened. The custom was drink a glass of wine. After you did bloodletting, a person was weakened. The custom was drink a glass of wine. However, aval b'shayimos hashana mevarich al kol kos v'kos. But I will say, ultimately, again, during the rest of the year, you make a bracha on every single individual cup. So now the Gemara is defining the statement of the Mishnah that wine before the meal covers the rest of the wine, both during the meal and after the meal, dafka on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But during the rest of the year, a person makes a bracha, or the rest of the week, a person makes a bracha on each and every cup. Now, obviously, this is a subjective halacha. If I know that on Tuesday, I'm drinking a glass of wine during the meal, and I know that I'm going to go ahead and what? drink wine during the meal, dessert, whatever it is, then of course, again, if that's my das when I make the bracha, then my das, my intent, covers those subsequent drinking. The Gemara is just talking about in the absence of explicit intent during the week, we assume that when you drink wine before the meal, that's the only wine you're drinking, and you're not drinking anymore. And therefore, if you decide to drink more, you have to make another bracha. Contrast that with Shabbos and Yom Tov, where it's understood you're going to be drinking more wine, and therefore the bracha you make before on the wine before the meal, i.e. Kiddush, covers all of the wine. Rabba Bar Mari, Ikle Be Rabba. So listen to this. Rabba Bar Mari went to the house of Rabba, Bechol, during the week, Chazye de Barach Lifnei Mazon, V'Hadr Barach L'Achar Mazon, he saw that Rava was making a bracha on the wine before the meal, ultimately again, and on the wine after the meal. Amar Le Yasher, he said to him, Shkoyach, great job, right? That's the halacha. V'chein Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, this is what Rabbi Shimon Levi said as well. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef went to the house of Abaye on Yom Tov. Chazye, listen to this, did Baruch HaKol Kasa V'Kasa. He saw that Abaye was making a bracha on every single glass of wine. Very strange. So the Gemara says, Amar le, lo savar le ma, lo savar lo mar, lo hadr Rabbi Shimon Levi. Don't show the Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi was the one who said that when you make a bracha on every single cup of wine, that's during the week. Because during the week, again, people don't normally drink that much wine, and therefore, again, we assume that when you drink one glass, that's what you're drinking. If you go in and you drink something additional, that's called bimlacha, requires a new bracha. However, Shabbos and Yom Tov, the assumption is that you're going to drink more wine. So the bracha you make before the meal, i.e. Kiddush, covers the rest of your wine. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef says to Abaye, why is it that you're making a bracha on the additional glasses? Amar lei nimlachana, to which Abaye responded, the truth is, I'm not really a drinker. So therefore, again, I kind of assume that when I make Kiddush, that's it. Now I decided to have another glass of wine. That's nimlach, that's a new decision. Because it's a new decision, then what? Therefore, halacha l'maisa requires a new bracha. Ibai lehu, balem yayin b'soch ha-mazen, ma'ushi, if there are sayin shala achra ha-mazen. So what about the following case? What happens if halacha l'maisa, right? I didn't drink appetizer wine. So this is not a Shabbos and Yom Tov. This is a weekday case. I didn't drink appetizer wine, but I drank wine during the meal. So does the hagaf and does the wine that I drink during the meal exempt dessert wine from a bracha or not? So imtim tzolomar beirach alayan shlefnei amazon pesach shel achra amazon. Well, we learned in the Mishnah that what when you make a bracha on appetizer wine, it takes care of dessert wine. Mishum. Well, maybe that's because there's a common denominator between appetizer wine and dessert wine, which is you drink it for the sake of enjoying it as a drink. Contrast that, aval hacha, meal wine actually served a different Talmudic purpose. Meal wine was dezelishtos vezelishros. So literally meal wine was there to what? Soak your food. Right? Meaning Talmudic practice was to drink wine during the meal because it was understood that if you drink during the meal, it aids in digestion. So I don't drink during my meal for the sake of enjoying wine as a drink. I drink during my meal for the sake of digestion purposes. So maybe the reason why appetizer wine exempts dessert wine is because they're in the same category. They're both consumed for drinking benefit, drinking purpose. But maybe, again, meal wine doesn't exempt dessert wine because they're drunk for two different purposes. Oh, Dilma lo shnar, maybe it makes no difference. Maybe wine is wine. Who cares why you're drinking it? The ikar is that what? You're drinking it. So therefore, wine that's consumed during the meal will exempt dessert wine as well. So what's the halacha? Rav Papa poter. Rav Papa said that halacha l'maisa, when you make a hagafen on meal wine, that exempts dessert wine. Rav Kahana amar eino poter. Rav Kahana says meal wine does not exempt dessert wine. Rav Nachman amar poter. Rav Sheshes amar eino poter. Rav Nachman says meal wine does exempt dessert wine. Rav Sheshes says it doesn't. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, v'chol tamidei derav amri eino poter. And Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, all the tamidim of Rav said that halacha l'maisa meal wine does not exempt dessert wine. So Rava raised the kasha to Rav Nachman. If they got wine during the meal, this is the Mishnah. Call echad ve'echad mevarich liatzmo. So we'll say people are sitting together, and they got wine in the middle of the meal. Everyone makes a bracha for themselves. So the Gemara says, La'achra mazon, yet interestingly enough, if they got wine after the meal, dessert wine, echad mevarech lekulam, one person makes a bracha on behalf of the collective. So Amar Le, suppose this is interesting. So what does that tell you? Amar Le, hachi kamar, in balehem yain besoch hamazon, excuse me, in lo balehem yain besoch hamazon. So that actually the second case is if they did not get wine during the meal, ela achra mazon, rather ultimately again after the meal, echad mevarech lekulon. Ultimately again, everyone, one person has the ability to go ahead and make the bracha on behalf of everyone. Fine. Berach ala pas. So berach ala pas, pater asapar peres. Ala paperas lo pater asapas. Veshame omrim af lo mai sekideras. We'll say, remember again. So the Mishnah said, if you made a bracha on the bread, you exempt the appetizer. On the appetizer, you have not exempted the bread. Beishamai says you don't even exempt the maisekedera. To which the Gemara says, Beishamai aresha pligi, o dilma asefa pligi. What is Beishamai arguing on? Is he arguing the first part of the statement or the second part of the statement? So the Gemara says, the Gemara Tanakama, because on one hand we can say like this, Tanakama is saying, Beirach ala pas patra saparperas. Tanakama is saying, if you made a bracha on bread, bread exempts ultimately again parperas, anything else that comes over the course of the meal. V'chol shekein mai sekedera. And certainly bread exempts mai sekedera. Mai sekedera is any cooked item that's made with grain. So certainly, again, if bread will exempt appetizer-like items, right, then ultimately consumed during the course of the meal, so certainly, again, bread will also exempt any type of mai sekedera. V'asi b'shamai l'meimar, b'shamai comes along and says no. Lo mi bai parperes de lo patru lupas. Bread certainly does not exempt the appetizer, ela afilu mai sekedera nami lo patra. But rather, bread doesn't even exempt mai sekedera. Oh, Dilma, that's one possibility, is what Beishamai is saying. Oh, Dilma, that possibility is, Misefa pligi. Oh, Asefa pligi, excuse me. He's arguing on the Seifa. Diktani berach ala paperes, lo pateras apas. Where ultimately, you said that if you go and you make a bracha on the appetizer, it doesn't exempt the bread. Pas hu de lo pater. It's bread that bracha on the appetizer doesn't exempt. Ava mai sekedera pater. But maybe ultimately, a bracha on the appetizer will exempt the mai sekedera. Va'asu beishamai the meimar filo mai sekedera nami lo pater. And Beishamai comes along to say that what? That Allah Kalamaisa doesn't even exempt the mai sekedera. Maybe that's what he's saying. To which the Gemara says, teku. Now, Bosa, this is actually very interesting. It's a teku. Normally, when you see teku, it's a teku on a halacha, right? In other words, this is machlokis in the halacha. We don't know what the halacha is teku. Here, I just want to point out, it's a fascinating teku. This is a teku in what? A teku in Beishamai. Right, so it's a teku ultimately again on what the position of Beishamai is. Beishamai is arguing regarding something. We're just not sure what Beishamai is arguing about. Right, so we'll stop over here for today. Minister, so we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow. And I will say, so dessert will have to be. We'll do dessert in Mirat Hashem. After lunch tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we'll do a dessert. Bench first. Bench before you go.
When do you close tomorrow's Shabbos as well?
Sometime today. Huh?